Good evening, everyone. I don't know how appropriate this is. I'm going to run the risk, I guess, and say that I did not get to really spend much time on the phone with my wife today. So I'm going to thank her right now because I know she's listening for support and her prayers. So thank you, sweetheart. Even though I didn't get to talk with you, you are not forgotten. Many of you have been praying for me. You've told me so, and I appreciate it. Many of you have said, God bless you tonight, Brother Mark, and I appreciate that. I do need your prayers. But my prayer has been a bit different than yours. I haven't prayed that God would bless me. I prayed He would bless you. So that is my prayer tonight. And I'll have to tell you too, I'll be honest with you, I feel a little scared tonight. Two reasons. One, that I won't waste your time. And two, that I won't violate the will of God tonight in any way. I haven't figured out the number of hours that we'll be sitting here while we speak here for an hour or so. This probably, what, 300 or 400 hours. And it is my sincere prayer and desire that not one moment would be wasted. You know, I have a message on my heart tonight, and there's a bit of a burden on my heart for it. And I have some things I'm going to say, and there's going to be some things that might challenge some of you. There's going to be some things that I'm going to say that, the Lord willing, that they might prick your heart. And I might say some things tonight that you would rather not look at by the grace of God. But I am telling you all that up front because at the end of this message, I'm going to give you an invitation to come up and meet with God. So just consider that as we go through the message tonight. God, while you have prayed for me, so have I prayed for you. And I have a confidence that God heard my prayer. That He is going to bless you tonight. Not because of what I say so much as the condition of your heart. You get your heart in a condition of, Lord, speak to me with a sincerity and with a full resignation. And He will. I believe He will. Now, I'm not one of these preachers that's so smart. I'm not so intelligent. But I know one thing. I love God and I want to advance His kingdom. That's my prayer. I want to promote it this evening. Higher than it's ever been promoted in your heart. Because He is worthy. We have had much rich teaching this week. Y'all know that. All you brothers that have been here, you know. You have had much rich teaching. Kingdom leadership and discipleship. And why our prayers aren't answered. And the potential provisions and progress of each one of us. And true servanthood. We've had all those things just given to us. Just flooded on us. We have been richly blessed. Now, the question is, what are you going to go home with tonight? You left your family for about 4, 5, 6 days. I don't know how many of you left your families for a while. You left them. And you left them there, and there they were. You left your children, there they were. And they sent Daddy off. And I fully expect that many of those mothers have prayed many prayers. And wives have prayed many prayers that their husbands would get something this week. Now, brothers, you not only owe it to God, but you owe it to your families. You need to take something home with you and you need to live it out. That's a responsibility that you all have and that God has given you. I think I'm going to take just a little bit of a break right now. And have Brother John D. come back up here and we're going to sing a song. I don't know what number it is. I forget now. Church of God Who's Conquering Banners. Brother John, if you'll come and we'll sing that song. And then we'll move into our message.
I remember singing this song as a boy in the church where I grew up, and there was always one phrase in here that has stuck with me. Verse 2. In your costly temples praying, let thy kingdom come, we pray, are but words of idle meaning if from these you turn away.
Oh, soul, Church of God, whose conquering banners float along the glorious years, gathering harvests rich and golden, sown in poverty and tears. Onward, press the cross is bending, far to toward the morning sky, speed on a flight pretending, Church of God.
Message tonight, walking together as kingdom patriots. You know what a patriot is? I looked it up in the dictionary. A person who loves his country and zealously supports and defends it and its interests. Amen. Devoted to the welfare of one's country. As patriot zeal, I'd like this evening to give to you, to suggest to you that there is a need among us. There's a need in my heart. And I believe there might be a need in your heart to have that kingdom patriotism that makes you walk together. When I say walk together, I mean walk together, yes, in your local brotherhoods, yes, in the larger realm or circle of your churches, yes, even in the larger circle of other Christians that don't even go to your church. And I believe it also can come right down real close home to the way you walk with your wife and the way you walk with your children. You know, there is a expectation of you from God to walk even with your children in the kingdom world, in the kingdom way. There, God has that expectation. Now, I want to illustrate something to you. When we walk together, and you walk along the pathway of life, and this is just an illustration, and you can walk along like this, you know, just meandering along. Meandering along doing this. Or you can do this. Is that your Christian life, or is this your Christian life? You know where you're going. You see the difference? There's a big difference. I want you to get a hold of that vision that makes you walk like you have a vision that you're going somewhere and you have something in mind and you're not stopping for anything until you get there. That's what I want you to get a hold of. Our journey in life is not alone. You do not walk alone. You do not have just simply you to take care of. You do not, even if you're a single young man, or if you're an older man, it doesn't matter what life, what station of life you're in, you do not walk alone. You walk, as you walk, you affect other people. That's why I talk about walking together with kingdom, in kingdom patriotism. As a kingdom patriot. There was a song, I don't even know the essence of the song, I just remember one phrase or one verse of it. No man is an island. No man stands alone. Each man's joy is joy to me. Each man's grief is my own. That's true, you know it? Because since I was here this weekend, even if I wasn't speaking right now, I affected you. Somehow, in some way, and each of you affected somebody else. That's why it becomes so important for us to say, okay, I am going to walk together with my brothers and my sisters with a patriotism to the kingdom, with a zeal and a willingness to protect her and her interests. That is very important. There's another thing I'd like to introduce here as a start, just for my introduction. There is a need. No, that's not the way to say it. Where there is a need, there will be a supply. And sometimes, not until. Where there is a need, there will be a supply. Okay. I think it's important that we get a hold of that one. Just keep that one. Just store that one back there for a minute. I want to illustrate some of this with a little history. And probably many of you know this history. In about 1620, there was a group of people called the Separatists. They were part of there was about 102 of them. They were fleeing England for religious freedom. They came here to America. They left on September 1620. They came here, and on November 21st, the Mayflower dropped its anchor here in Provincetown, Massachusetts. That was 1620. 30 years later, England, France, Netherlands, and Spain all had colonies here in the New World, here in America. It went a few years, about probably close to 100 years, until there began to be rising up a realization that there was some value here in this country. England and France, Spain and the Netherlands, they all had interests here. But England and France were the big ones, and they both said, I want to have the control of that country, the New World. So, thus begins a war. They fought in that war in 1754, and they fought in that war for 9 years to determine who was going to have the upper hand in this country. At the end of that 9 years, Britain won the war. But Britain had exhausted, or was very rapidly exhausting, her means. She was putting all of her money into keeping her army going and dealing with this war here in America. So Britain said, we did it for the colonies here in America, so therefore we're going to tax them. Well, the colonies, they had no representation over there in Britain. So they said, no, wait a minute, we're not going to do that. No taxation without representation. So the colonies rebelled. Interestingly, we call that war the War of Independence. I've read somewhere, I couldn't find it when I was preparing this message, but I've read somewhere, you know what Britain called the war? War of Rebellion. That's what Britain called the war. Because their own people who had come over here were rebelling. So they rebelled. Britain sent troops over here again to try to quell this uprising. That cost them all that much more. The colonies banded together. Because of back there when Britain and France were fighting, the colonies had kind of bonded together a bit because of that. Now here they were. Britain was coming over here and they were saying, you need to give me some money. And they said, not without representation. Thus began the war. Okay, so here we go. Those colonies, they had a need. They banded together. And you know what they did? You know what they did? They defeated one of the strongest armies in the world at the time. You know why? Because they were patriotic. Because they had a vision. Because they had a direction. Because they knew where they wanted to go. And they were going to fight to the death. They weren't afraid to die for it. They were willing to die for their country. That's in the natural world. That's in the carnal kingdom. But they won the war. That's the important part. They won the war. Okay, here we are. Let's bring it over into the spiritual kingdom. There's a need. There's a war. God will supply your need. Get a hold of that. You may think, I don't know how I can do this. I don't know how I can continue. This thing that is just beating on me, I don't know if I can overcome. I don't know what I'm going to do about it. God will give you the power. There is a need. You can be supplied with that. God will. That's only an illustration I gave you there of the American Revolution. That doesn't really have anything to do with us in our life. Because that's a whole different kingdom. It's a whole different kingdom. But just to illustrate, where there's a need, there will be a supply. And I also want to illustrate that when a man is willing to fearlessly die for his belief, he can win. Okay? Physically or your own heart. You know what I mean when I say die? Okay. Again, I want to emphasize the purpose of this message tonight is that you and I might get a hold of this kingdom perspective of kingdom patriotism. That we will not flinch. We will not turn back. We will not turn aside. In fact, we'll die before we'll give up. We'll die before we let the enemy win over us. In fact, sometimes it takes death in order to even fight the war. The kingdom that we live in is so different than that other kingdom out there. It's not the same. And you all know what I'm talking about. The only way you're going to win in this war, again, is with that zeal, lackadaisicalness, laziness, compromise, inconsistencies. All those kind of things are not going to win the war. They're not acceptable in this army. I also want to say this. Ecumenism is not what I'm talking about. When I talk about a larger body of Christ fighting the battle, I'm not talking about joining in with all those, I don't know, I guess I'll call them so-called Christians without making any accusations. I'm not talking about that. But if you would turn with me to John chapter 17. There's a war going on, and somebody's going to win. Somebody's going to win. John chapter 17. Maybe I should say this much more too. In any, you take the kingdoms of the world, and in any battle, and in any army, there is a cohesiveness there. There is a bonding there. There is a patriotism there. There is a bonding together that must be there in order for them to fight the battle. And brethren, it's not a lot different in the spiritual kingdom. We each affect each other. You fall, I have to stand that much harder. I fall, you have to stand that much. It's that much harder for you. It's important that you get a hold of that fact. It matters about who you are. You matter to your brother. You do. In fact, Jesus prayed there in John 17. He prayed there, and we'll start reading in verse 20, I suppose. Speaking to his father, neither pray, verse 20, chapter 17, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. God, the Father, the Son was speaking to his Father, and he was praying for us, that we might be one, yes, with him, but not just with him, that we might be one together. That, let me read on. I forget where I stopped reading there. I'll read 21. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. You see what kind of a responsibility we have? That the world may believe. So what do you think it speaks to the world when we can't get along? I know, there are times we can find ways and reasons, and there might be good ones for us to say, well, I just can't walk with you anymore. There's times for that. I'm not saying there's not. But I'm looking at a heart that has a desire to rather bend into and blend with than stand on his own and stand for what he knows is right. It's not wrong to do that. There's times for that. I'm just looking for a heart that is willing to say, I can do that for my brother. I can do that for my God. I can do that. It's not the way I would do it, but really there's nothing wrong with it. I'm looking for that kind of heart. That kind of heart is what I want you to get a hold of this evening. That heart, you know, we have this. I can't blame it on America, but I'll say it. We Americans, we have a very independent spirit about us. Just go into some of the third world countries and sit on a bus sometime or something like that. And we have our spaces here in America, you know. You got so much space. Over there, you got about a lot less space than that. I mean, they figure that if they can get in, it's their right to sit down, whatever room there is. And some of you know what I'm talking about. We're very independent. We like to keep our own space, and we like to just protect ourselves a bit. What I'm saying is, that's something we may need to deal with in our heart. But that's my space. But that's mine. But that's... I'm saying, wait a minute. Let's all change our attitude a little bit here, if we need to. Let's look at this thing and say, wait a minute. What is really mine? What is really mine? Is that really mine? You may have been given it to take care of it, but is it really yours? Have you really attained to that and deserve that, and it's you shouldn't give it away? Again, like I said, I'm looking for a heart. I want us to put away all of our rights, all of our privileges for a moment, and say, who am I? Is there anything in my life? Is there something God is saying to me that I'm holding on to that I need to let loose of? That's my question for you tonight. What are you holding on to? What about this kingdom patriotism? What really matters? The kingdom or you? That's the question. What really matters? Do you want your flesh to be satisfied with all these things? Do you want your flesh to be fulfilled? Do you want to hold on to these things? Or would you rather give them over to the king and let him deal with them? And you're going to put your zeal right there where he wants it to be. That's the question this evening. That attitude that says, I'm not going to budge. And you all put it all in your own lives, whatever that means to you. Maybe God has spoken something into your heart to this week that you really know God put his finger on it. But oh boy, to do that, to get rid of that, to change this, maybe I can go home and forget about it. That's not the kingdom perspective. In fact, when we hold on to something like that, that's a spirit of divorce. It's a spirit that says, I will be separated. I will not walk with my brother or my God in that way at all, because I'm not going to do that. That's separating yourself. You refuse to deal with that thing, whatever it is. That's divorcing yourself from God. And you know God hates divorce. In John, turn back a little farther to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 49. I think we'll start reading in verse 49. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, you know nothing at all. Now consider that it is expedient for us, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being the high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation only, but that he also should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. He should gather together from all nations. No, it doesn't say that. Gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Caiaphas said that. It's true. Jesus would die for us. That we could all be gathered to one in one, the children of God that were scattered abroad. Now, I don't want to stay here, what I'm about to say, but I do feel like I need to make the point. I feel like I need to say the words. I don't want to, but I do believe, and I'm not going to try to be super spiritual or anything, but I do believe I need to say the words, what I think God wants me to say this evening. I am burdened about how we bite and devour one another. I am. And I make no accusations. I just give that to you. Let you do something with that. In Galatians there, he says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What am I talking about? I mean, this is what I mean. I have heard it, and probably you have too. The critiquing, if that's a nice word. Or maybe I should say even more the criticizing of the people we come from. Not right. They may have some faults, and they may have some things wrong, and they may be doing some things that aren't right. But that's not right. You know what? Some of those people that you are speaking about, they just may be your brother. I think it's important that we just be aware, that we be very careful how we talk. That's my burden. That's one of my burdens here tonight. I have some names written down here. There's probably no point. I probably want to, don't feel clear to do that. But I can name some. What about this group and this group and that group and this group and the other group? And I think you got the point. Let's be very careful. Yes, you have decided to come here or go there, or maybe you haven't even. Maybe you're, I don't know what you may be deciding. But the fact of the matter is, God is listening to your every word that you say. How has it been in your life? How has it been now, really? Truly? Have we spoken against the children of God by our tenacity to doctrine, or our zeal to prevent drift, or our belief in prophecy? Have we spoken against? I don't know. You could name that all kinds of things. I'm not even going to name it. You think about that in your own heart. Spoken against the children of God. I'm speaking against the spirit of division. That's my heart this evening. God doesn't want division. He doesn't like division. In fact, you know what? He hates division. Again, understand my heart. I'm not talking about ecumenism. I'm not talking about just everybody just coming together and being all lovey-dovey and nobody says anything about anything. We just simply love. I'm not talking about that. That's not where we're going. I don't think we have any problem with that necessarily. A little book that Brother David Robertson talked about here the other day. I don't remember what day. What was the name of that? Touching the Invisible. Yes, thank you. The man in there, he says, the moment I begin to criticize or resent my brother, I must recognize the sin of criticism as the sin which concerns me most and first, not my brother's behavior. Jesus said, judge not that ye be not judged. He said, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And he says, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold the beam that is in thine own eye? He says some pretty scathing words next. He says, thou hypocrite! First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Strong words, but do they apply to me? America has a motto. I don't know how to say it exactly. I say it like this: E pluribus unum. That means from many one. From many one. That motto was first used back there when I told you about that little incident back there about the 13 colonies banding together. That was the motto that they had. But it took on a new meaning when I don't know what year, whenever it was, when the article I read here says, when the United States received wave after wave after wave after wave of immigrants coming from many lands. This writer says, these immigrants had to find ways to reconcile their varied backgrounds and fit together under a constitution and set of laws. That process of creating one society out of many different backgrounds is one of the biggest stories of the American experience. A big story? You think America's a big story? What about when you become a Christian? That's the big story. When we take all those things of the past, we let them all go and we become one in Christ. All of us together. That's a big story. He goes on and says, what then is what then is the American, this new man? Listen to this. Ask one of the thousands of immigrants who came to North America in the 18th century. He's an American who, apply this to the spiritual side of life. He's an American who, leaving behind him all his ancient prejudices and manners, receives new ones from the new mode of life he has embraced, the new government he obeys, and the new rank he holds. The American is a new man who acts upon new principles. Here, individuals from all nations are melted into a new race of men. That's another kingdom. That's our kingdom. That's what happens to us. Amen?
Amen.
A new man. A new way of life. And he's embraced it. A new government he obeys. A new commander-in-chief. A new rank he holds. A new man who acts upon new principles. Here, individuals of all peoples are gathered together in what he calls his bride, the church. We've had, I think, I don't remember who it was, talked a little bit about being born again. Maybe it's today, I don't remember. Yeah, I think it was today, maybe Brother Dale did. But I'd just like to say this. Before you're going to enter into that new kingdom, before that man ever comes from wherever he comes from and becomes an American, before you enter into that kingdom, you are going to have to agree with, you're going to have to decide, I am going to live by this new kingdom and the rules that she has. That's what I'm going to do. I have to do that. You have to be born again. That's what you have to be to enter into this new kingdom. And I don't need to say a whole lot more about that. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see, let alone enter, the kingdom of God. He goes on there and he says, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and it heareth the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You know what it means to be born again? It means, just like the leaves on that tree, those leaves who once hung limp without life begin to move on a power not their own. They begin to move with a power not of their own. That's what it means to be born again. You move when you are born again. You have a new heart and you have a power within you that's not your own. And you move. And you know what happens? We used to live in Idaho and there's some aspen trees out there and they've got little tiny leaves on those trees. And when the wind starts to blow, the whole thing just kind of shimmers and comes alive. That's what happens to us. When the wind blows on that tree, we all just kind of move of a power not our own and we become a beautiful living thing. A beautiful living body. That's what we are. When we get born again, we enter into the kingdom of God. We enter into the bride of Christ. There's some things I'd like to talk to you about tonight just to consider. I can see I'm probably not going to get through them all, but I'll go through some of them. Just to consider that our key to being useful in this kingdom. Some things that are key. Some things that are vital. Some things that must be. To be useful in this kingdom. Because you know what? That's really the purpose of being here. It's not just to enjoy the kingdom. It's to be available to the King. What does the King want from me? King, what do you want? I'm available. Anything you say, I'm yours. Anything, Lord, anything. Anything. One of the things that is key, and I'm not going to talk much about this. One of the things that is key is that you have a relationship. And that relationship is one of the aspects of that relationship is prayer. Again, you all knew that. I'm not telling you anything new. But I'll just say this. I just challenge you with this. I have a feeling that it is one of the most vital things a Christian can do and one of the most neglected things that Christians do. I don't know. I don't know your heart. I don't know your prayer life. I know mine, but I don't know yours. Prayer. How can we claim to know Him when we give Him a few moments each day? I wonder what kind of a relationship, and I make no accusation, but I wonder what kind of a relationship you'd have with your wife if you talked to her as much as you talk to God. I don't know. Maybe you talk to Him all the time, and praise the Lord if you do. But for those of you who don't, let that settle on you a little bit. What kind of a relationship would you have with your wife if you talked to her no more than you do to your God? And you didn't share your heart any more deeply than you do with your God. You think about that. Those of you who need to think about it. Prayer. There in Luke, Jesus says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. And when once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. He shall answer and say unto you, I know not whence you are. I don't know you. They shall say, but Lord, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. I wonder how much they prayed. I wonder how much they prayed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What is happening in your life? We're part of Living Hope. Our church started. We came off of charity. Bless their hearts. But I like that. I'm very pleased. I'm glad. I love them for it. They gave us an opportunity to move over here. About 28 families of us or so. And we began to have a little prayer meeting in the morning on Saturday mornings. And if I remember right, that first prayer meeting, Brother Dean made these comments. He said, at Living Hope, we have two kinds of prayers. We have fervent prayers and we have effectual prayers. And that's all. That's our heart. Now, is that true? I don't know. I'm not saying that. But that was what we wanted. And we agreed with that. Yes, fervent, effectual prayers avail much. Our estimation of others. Walking together as kingdom patriots. Our estimation of others. What do we think of others? You take the person that grates on you the most. That, you know, he just brings out the worst in you. You know what I mean? You've probably had some of those people. I have. I mean, it just almost never fails. You get around them and this thing rises up in you. Maybe you don't know what I mean. I don't know if you do or not, but I'm okay. What do we do with that? God says, He says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than ourselves. him better. Are you patriotic to the kingdom? That's some of the rules of the kingdom. You know, you go into any nation and there are certain laws they have, and you obey those laws. And you don't obey those laws, you're in trouble. That's a rule of the kingdom. It is. Esteem others better than yourself. Another way we walk together as kingdom patriots, as those who will die for the kingdom, those who will not turn back, those who will not let up, those who will not turn around, those who are sold out, those who will die for the kingdom. Those kind of people. That's what I want. Those kind of people. Those kind of people are humble. Those kind of people deal ruthlessly with pride. Dare I say it? Those kind of people pray, Lord, humble me. Whatever it takes. Those kind of people pray that. The kind of people that enter that kingdom are the kind of people who say, it doesn't matter about me, it matters about you. Only you. That's all. You know, leaders don't naturally tend to take the low road. We've been talking about leaders here this week. Men who have a leadership, men who have a vision, men who have a goal, men who want to get things done, men who lead out, they don't naturally tend to take the low road. You know that? Check which road you're on. God giveth more grace to the humble. He resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. That's what God does. In John chapter 15, verse 4, it says, every branch that beareth... I should look at it here. I thought I knew it. John 15, he says, abide in me and I in you, every branch. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in the vine. The branch is never the supplier to the vine. Never. Never will be, never has been, never will be. Neither can we. But you know, that's a little bit the way it gets sometimes when we rise up in pride or we're unwilling to humble ourselves, we're unwilling to take that rebuke or whatever it may be. It's a little bit the way it is. It's like saying, I don't think so. I think I'll not take that. Solomon says, better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Than to have all the rewards and riches of the proud, it's better to dwell among the lowly. Responsibility. Every one of us, I've talked about this briefly, responsibility. I want to tell you a little story about myself. This afternoon, I wish I could remember. I thought I would, and I didn't write it down. I couldn't remember it. Brother Dale was talking about the wives and how we relate and some of the something that happened and there's several chuckles and laughs. While you were laughing, I was crying. I remember one time. You don't know my history, you don't know my story behind who I am and what has made me who I am, and I'm not by any means I don't even want to tell it, but I think it'll make a point. There was a day I looked like a good father. And then there was a day I looked like not a good father at best. I was not nurturing my wife. I was not nurturing my children. The fact is, I wasn't even home. I didn't even live at home. You may wonder a bit why I'm up here, and sometimes I do too, to be honest with you. I was asking my wife, I said, Ann, I don't want to walk the way you're walking. I don't want you to wear those kind of clothes anymore. I want you to wear these kind. And I asked her that for several months. She couldn't do it. She just couldn't do it. Finally, there came a time. She came to me and she said, "Mark, I'll do what you're asking me to do, but you are responsible." She didn't do it quite that way. She didn't point the finger like that. She said, "But you are responsible." Proper theology, I don't know. But it got my attention. By the grace of God, we never really went down that path that I thought I wanted to go. I'm thankful for that. But I remember. I suppose you probably all figured out by now that I love my wife. I love her dearly. And you know what else? You could ask her. I think she would say this. I know my heart is, I owe her. I am indebted to her. Now, you don't have to go out and do some of the things I did to be indebted to your wife. I'm just saying, that's why I cried. I realized that she was willing to walk with me wherever I wanted to go. That's what turned me around. We have responsibility. We do. I don't know how. I'm just going to read you this. "When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble." Do you make inquisition for blood? And the Lord does not forget the cry of the humble. Follow what I'm saying. Do you ever? Is it ever anything that you might do or not do that requires somebody to go out into some place they shouldn't go because of you? "He forgetteth not the cry of the humble." Here's another thing that we can do. And again, this is not in any particular order. We can surrender and we can bend. We can give up. We don't have to have our way, do we? Really now? When you look at it in the long run of things, look at it from the eternal perspective. Does it really matter? Does it really matter? Is it worth? Is it really worth causing a problem, dividing over something, whatever it might be? Is it really, well, I ask you, is it really worth it? Really? Really? Remember, you have committed to this kingdom. You have agreed to be a patriot in this kingdom. You have agreed that you will, with all of your energy and zeal and soul, defend and protect her. And when you take another soldier down, you become a little bit responsible. There was a day I went through some fire a while back myself. And I'll be honest with you, I got kind of discouraged. My son-in-law sent me this little quote. I don't know where it came from. This was the words. "Keep about your work. Do not flinch because the lions roar. Do not stop to stone the devil's dogs. Do not fool away your time chasing the devil's rabbits. Do your work. Let liars lie. Let the devil do his worst. But see to it that nothing hinders you from fulfilling the work that God has given you. He has never bidden you to defend your character. He has not set you at work to contradict the falsehood about you with which Satan and his servants may start to peddle. If you do those things, you will do nothing else. You'll get lost in defending yourself. You'll be at work for yourself and not for the Lord. Encourage one another. Do it. Encourage one another. Love one another. A new commandment I have given unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Charity suffereth long. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. This is characteristics of the kingdom. This is what the patriots do. Charity is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And you know what else? Charity never fails. Some things you don't know if they'll work or not. Some things you just don't know. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Charity never fails. Charity never fails. Keep a hold of that one. That's a fail-proof formula right there. Honor one another. Die for your brother. Die for the kingdom. I looked up there in the Revelation. He talks about the martyrs and the honor that's bestowed upon them. Let's see. I'll read it here. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And I don't know what all that means, but it sounds like honor to me. It does. Honor one another. Honor one another. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Death to the flesh, that's a big one. It really is. That's a big one. Dying to the flesh. My flesh doesn't want to die. I don't like to go without food when I fast. I don't like to do that. And whatever else you can think of. My flesh doesn't want to die. I have rights that I like to hold on to. But Jesus said, Jesus, I've been impressed with that this week, and maybe some of you have too. Jesus, He was not just this far off figure out there that lived about 2,000 years ago. He was a man. He is a man. Was a man. He's a person. Jesus, He walked here. You could feel, you could touch Him. He looked like you and I do. He said, the Son of God, He said, verily, verily, I say unto you. And when He says, verily, verily, sit up and take notice. There's something there that He wants you to get really bad. There's something important here. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. If it doesn't fall into the ground and die, it doesn't do anything. It's still that same corn of wheat. But if it fall down into the ground and die, you know what it does? It brings forth much fruit. Amen. It does. Hallelujah. Don't you want to bring forth fruit for the kingdom? Then die. My son said to me one time, he said, Daddy, he said, I am going to have a good marriage. I am going to have a good marriage. I know I am. You know what he said? And I'm going to die doing it. That's the purpose. That's it right there. And he does. He has a good marriage. Submission. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ. Patience. Jesus said, He said, in your patience possess ye your souls. Can you wait? Can you wait? Can you wait? Or does it need to be done now? Or does it need to be this way now? Can you wait? Patience. Now I know there's time to act. Yes, there is. But these are just the words of Jesus. He says, in your patience possess ye your souls. Recognize the enemy. The enemy is not our brother or our sister or that other church over there or our wife or our children. That's not the enemy. We know who the enemy is. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. If you're not involved, don't take sides. You might take the wrong side. Impulsiveness is an enemy of confidence. Never question motives. A brother one time told me, he said, I've never, ever seen a church split because everybody was praying too much. And I think I can say that about a lot of these things I've talked about. I've never ever, and I never ever will, I don't believe, see a church split. Not to pick on church splits, but just as an example. Because everybody was too humble. Too humble. It doesn't work that way. Turn to me to Psalms. Psalm 133. Psalm 133, three verses. I want to read all of them. Usually, we like to quit reading at the first one sometimes. But I think there's some value in the ones on down there. I just want to comment on it just a bit. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's been a wonderful time this week, hasn't it, brethren? It's been beautiful. I heard one brother say it's been the best ever. But he said, you know what the difference is? My heart. My heart. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. I don't know what ointment they're talking about. I don't know that. But that ointment was a pleasant thing. It was something that was good. And it was something that they welcomed. It was pleasant. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, this is what brethren dwelling together in unity is like. It is like this. It is like those things. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. That's what it means to dwell together in unity. There the Lord commands a blessing. He doesn't make it an issue where He is decides at one point what to bless. He says, there I command a blessing. It's not just a, you're going to probably be blessed. It's just going to coincidental things going to work out. God says He's going to command a blessing upon those who are willing to dwell together in unity. And it's going to take some effort. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some dying. It's going to take some love. It's going to take some forgiveness. It's going to take all those things. That's what it's going to take. That we dwell together in unity. God smiles on the brethren who dwell together in unity, brethren. So what will we do with these things? Is there something in your heart that you know in your heart? I told you at the onset of this, I was going to have an invitation here. And I want to say this. I don't believe an invitation is any kind of a magical walk down the aisle to all of a sudden get clear and get free with God. That's not what an invitation will do. It is something that you have a choice. I explained it to a brother like this one time. You can walk down the aisle, or you can choose to stay in your seat. It's okay. But the point is, if you are unwilling, I don't know how to say this. I want you to understand. If you're unwilling, if you're too proud to get up and walk down the aisle, you're probably too proud to get any relief from God or to get any forgiveness from God. And again, I'm not trying to pressure you to walk down there. Not at all. You have to answer that in your own heart. But the question for us here is, what has God spoken in your heart tonight? Maybe He hasn't done anything. Maybe He hasn't. Maybe there's no reason. Maybe you can't see any reason at all. to make any confession, to make any kind of meeting with God. Maybe you can't. Then that's fine. If you're that way, that's fine. But if there is an opportunity, here's an opportunity for you to bring it before God. While He's speaking into your heart, here's an opportunity for you to deal with it. Because you know what? You have today. We don't have tomorrow. And I'd like to end with this verse before we sing a song. I know that it doesn't necessarily mean what we've talked about, yet at the same time the principle's there. And the verse is this: what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. I know that's talking about marriage, but you know what? I'm not sure it's a whole lot different. We're married, are we not? Are we joined into this bride? Haven't we taken our oath, so to speak, that we will live faithful till death? Haven't we been baptized? Haven't we given our heart to the Lord? Haven't we? I believe some of us have. I'd like to think all of us have. Maybe we haven't all. So I would like to invite you, to give you an opportunity. And what I think we're going to do is a little like we did Monday night. We're going to invite you to come up here if you feel to, and you can kneel down here and pray, and we're going to sing four or five or six songs. We're going to give you plenty of time. And if you want to talk with somebody, that's perfectly fine. We have people who will be glad to talk with you and just hear your heart. So do we have a song? 228. Number 228.
$8.99. I just encourage you, you know, it's going to be awful easy to just try to stay there and not really deal with it when you really should. You know, I just encourage you, if there's something like that in your heart, please, I pray, I beg you, ask you, do something about it, because God needs workers in His kingdom.
Listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.